I do want to say it is a blessing and a privilege for me to stand before you and even to be asked to speak with you men. So it's very humbling for me. And I got to say, I'm honored. I'm really honored to be given this task. Well, I hope y'all don't walk out on me. Time is a little late.
Take your time, brother.
I won't prolong it any longer. And we will be in the book of Ephesians again, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first three verses. And just like Bill, I would like to encourage all of you in your personal private devotional to really meditate on this entire letter to the Ephesians. It's really, really, really rich. But like I said, we're going to focus on the first three verses of chapter 1. If you got it, you should be there. Everybody, just let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. It is good that we are in the house of the Lord on this night. Lord, you have brought myself and all of these men here. You have gathered us together for a purpose, for a reason. And Lord, I ask that you would reveal that to us tonight. Lord, I would ask that you would speak through me and use me as a vessel. Let everything that fall from my lips be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Lord, I ask that I would decrease while you increase. I pray, Lord, that if we need conviction, you bring it. If we need encouragement, you bring that. And I just ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The theme of this men's retreat is becoming worthy. And I was given a task to talk about being worthy in your walk. I got to move this up a little bit. I don't want to fall. So y'all got to excuse me. Let me just bear with me. All right. Is that all right? All right. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe that we can learn and get great instructions on how we could walk worthy by Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now, just like Brother Bill alluded to, this letter has been divided into two equal sections. It talks about our position, and then it talks about our practice. Talks about our doctrine, and then he talks about our duty. It talks about our calling, and then it talks about our conduct. Chapters 1 through 3 talks about our riches we have in Christ, while verses 4 through 6 talks about the responsibilities that we have in Christ. Men, sadly, we are living in a day and age where a lot of us want all of the riches that we get in Christ and none of the responsibilities. Now, I believe that this text is tailored to teach us that being worthy in our walk is demonstrated by a worthy willingness and a worthy witness. Now, if we could just tune in spiritually and allow the Holy Spirit to drop off some helpful hints of walking worthy. Everybody with me on this?
Amen.
We're going to tune in tonight.
Yes.
All right. Paul says in verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. First thing I want to look at is this reason that we have to walk worthy. Just like many of us want all the riches but in Christ, but none of the responsibilities we have in Christ, many men won't do anything unless they have a reason. So what is our reason to walk worthy? We don't have a reason, but Paul gives us many reasons. He says, I therefore. And when we see the word therefore in the text, what do? We see what it's there for. So let's see what it's there for. Paul says, considering all these things God has done for us in the last three chapters, we ought to walk worthy. Now keep up with me here. In verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1, he says God has blessed us. Verse 4, he chose us. 5 and 6, he adopted us. 7 and 8, he redeemed us. 9 and 10, he will gather us into his name. 11 and 12, he gave us the Holy Spirit and sealed us. That's chapter 1. In chapter 2, he saved us when we were dead in our sins, influenced by Satan, controlled by lust, under God's wrath, pagans without God, separated from Christ, and without hope in this present world. You know what else he did? He loved us. He liberated us. He lifted us. You want to know how he did it? He did it through his favor. He did it through faith. He did it through his blood. And because he did it, we are products of grace, partners of Israel, people of God, and pillars in the temple. Amen. And then, in chapter 3, he revealed the mystery, gave us the purpose of the mystery, and then we discover that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And if that's not enough, he woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He clothed me in my right mind. He put food on my table. He kept me all week long as the devil tried to stop me from being here. I just need to know. Is any man in this place got a reason to walk worthy of their calling? Amen. Paul says, you now have all of these reasons. I've given you plenty reasons to walk worthy. And because of that reason, I now beseech you, I urge you, I encourage you, I exhort you, I beg you, I recommend that you walk worthy to the calling with which you were called. But Paul, what are you talking about? What do you mean walk worthy, Paul? I don't understand. What are you talking about? This word worthy in the text is speaking of the Christian lifestyle. We all agree and we all know that, right? It also suggests taking action. Because when we walk, it's a deliberate action. We are actively doing something when we are walking. We're putting one foot in front of the other and we're moving forward. To walk in the manner worthy of our calling is to act a certain way by choice. This is active and not passive. Paul did not urge us to lay around in a manner worthy of our calling, did he? Let's see if we can make this make sense here. I've worked all day and I'm tired. My bones aching. But I'm walking. My so-called friends, they all talking about me, but I'm still walking. I'm having problems and turmoil in my home. My kids ain't acting right. My wife don't want to respect me. But I'm walking. The devil is trying to tempt me. But guess what? I'm walking. Amen. And I'm not just walking. I'm walking worthy.
Hallelujah.
I like that. That word worthy in the text, it speaks of properly weighing in. It's the balance scale they use in the Greek. It has the idea of how something weighs in on God's balanced scale of truth. I like that. You know, the type of mind that I have. You know, when I look at that, I say, oh, man. So I'm supposed to be heavy, a heavyweight. I'm not supposed to be a lightweight Christian, a lightweight man. I'm supposed to be a heavy man. I'm supposed to balance things out because I'm heavy. I'm fat. And I don't mean in physically either. But I'm heavy. I'm a heavyweight. That means worthy. Being a heavy man, a heavy Christian. That means I'm not so easily pushed around. I'm not easily knocked off of my square. You can't tell me any old thing, because as Paul talks about down in verse 14, when he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, you can't tell a worthy man, a man that's walking worthy, a heavy man, you can't just feed him any old thing. And he believes it. He fall for it. He's trying the Spirit by the Spirit. Now, I know we getting late in time, but Paul gives us a pathway to being worthy in our walk. So let's go through this pathway that he gives us. In verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and gentleness. I'm heavy, but I'm lowly and I'm gentle. He says, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Brothers, if we are to be worthy in our walk, the text says that we must be first men lowliness, or men of humility. Humility is something that's very difficult for many of us, because the world has taught us to be so prideful and to be so selfish. The world has told us to look out for number one. The world don't understand what it means to put yourself to the side and humble yourself. The world don't understand that. But if we are to be worthy men, the Bible says we have to be a man that's a man of humility. The world says that we deserve better, and the world teaches us to put ourselves first. But Jesus tells us that we ought to be washing each other's feet, even though we run into some stinking feet every now and again. We still are called to wash some feet. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you may be asking yourself, well, how is it that I can become a humble man? How can I learn this humility? How can I be a man like that? Well, I want to suggest what Paul told the Philippian church. And by extension, he's telling all of us. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It is right there, brothers. I can't slice it or dice it no other way. It's plain as day in the text. You want to be humble? You want to know how to be lowly in spirit? We gotta empty ourselves. We gotta die. Paul says in another place, we not only have to die, we have to die every day.
That's right.
If you want to know, or if you want to be humble, if you want to have a spirit of humility, you gotta first learn how to die. How to die. We ought to walk worthy. We ought to have the mind of Christ. And just like this text teaches us, if we have the mind of Christ, we ought to be taking the actions of Christ as well. We must replace self-centeredness that considers only our own rights, plans, and interests, and replace it with Christ's mind that would have us looking out for the interests of others. This means, my brothers, at home with our wives and children. It also means in the church house with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Then this means on our jobs out in the world. We are still supposed to have the mind of Christ, a mind of being humble. Not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Y'all ain't sleeping on me? All right, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. Now, there is no room for walking worthy if we are lording over people. No room. There's no room for walking worthy if we are looking to be served instead of looking to serve others. There's no room for walking worthy if we think that we are so large and in charge. No room. No room. You ain't got no room for worthiness. No room for humility. You're not all that in the bag of chips. And I ain't either. If he who knew no sin could humble himself and become sin for us, we too must humble ourselves and become obedient to the point of death.
Amen.
Now, not just lowliness or humbleness, but also gentleness. And that's lowliness's or humility's first cousin, which means meekness. But I don't want you guys to misunderstand me. Meekness is not to be confused with meekness. Meekness is not to be confused with weakness. Because remember, earlier we learned that we are heavyweights. We're not lightweights. So what does it mean for men to be gentle or meek? Well, this word suggests power under control. Meekness, according to the Bible, is being humble and gentle towards others and willingly being submissive and obedient to the Lord. It's not being selfish and arrogant, loud or obnoxious. Rather, it's having a quiet but confident trust in the Lord and being willing and able to do whatever it is he commands. Jesus gives us a perfect picture of meekness. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on earth. So we have pictures of what true meekness is. It's like, picture a horse. Big, strong, powerful horse that lets you ride him. Think of going to the circus and you see a lion that allows you or lets you to tame him. Think of an elephant that lets you ride him. And I say lets you because if any one of these animals decide that they don't want you riding them, they don't want you whipping them, that power that they have is going to overtake you. Picture Jesus. All power. All powerful. Almighty God. Let us nail him to the cross. Could have came down. Could have had legions and legions of angels at his side. Let us nail him to the cross. Let us beat on him, spit on him. Allowed it. That's power under control. Meekness is taking all of the power and all of the strength that God has given you, and the Holy Spirit harnesses it and uses it gently in a humble way. That's what meekness is. Power under the control. Meekness does not mean succumbing to everyone or being a doormat either. Jesus, we talked about, is the ultimate example of someone who's being meek. So if we want to be meek and gentle, we are to take Jesus' example and lay our lives down for others, as well as practicing humility in our speech and in our actions. Now we come to this word, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Or do I need to say it? Long. We heard that a million times. Long-suffering. Or patience, the next step in being worthy in our walk. This long-suffering or patience could mean steadfastness in the endurance of suffering. Simply stated, it's to suffer long. That's what long-suffering is, to suffer long. Long-suffering enables us never give up regardless of our circumstances. Regardless of what's going on at work, in the world, at home, we are being long-suffering. Long-suffering. Brother Crowe alluded to the life of Joseph. I too will allude to Joseph's life. He suffered much by the hands of his brothers. He suffered much because of a lying woman. He suffered much. But you know what he said when his brothers finally came back and he had been elevated and became number two in charge pretty much? God had blessed him so much. You know what he told his brothers when he made himself known to them? He said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." See, when we are patient and long, when we're long-suffering, we too will be able to say things just like that. Because see, we're not going to look at the situation or the circumstance that we are in. We are going to continue to walk worthy because we know on the other side of the long suffering, we'll have a testimony to tell somebody what God has done and what he has brought me through.
Amen.
This is why we walk worthy. This is why we suffer long. Paul says also he must bear with one another in love. This one here, just like all of them, this is a tough one. We're called to do it. And, you know, Paul has given us keys and steps to being worthy men, walking worthy. And bear with one another is tied to long suffering as well. And what it means is we gotta put up with some stuff. And I believe it's not the stuff so much that us men have the trouble with. I believe that it's when we have to put up with some people. Because bearing with one another is, in love, is not putting up with stuff, it's putting up with people. Putting up with other people's mess. We're called to this, though. This is what we're called to. Because understand what Paul is leading you to is unity in the body. But that's another message. So understand, we got to put up with some stuff and we got to put up with some people, and we all have shortcomings. But what we have to remember is that God put up with us and our stuff. So anytime we feel like that brother getting on your nerves, just think about it. How many times did you get on the Lord's nerves? Anytime you see that brother coming, if you find yourself saying, I already know what he's finna say. I already know what's finna happen. I already know what he's finna do. How many times has God has to say, boy, how many times I got to tell you? You didn't learn your lesson the last time? So if God can put up with us and put up with some stuff with us and bear with us in love, call to the same thing. We got to put up with each other's stuff. I may not like a lot of decisions that you make. I might not like how you dress, what you wear, what you put on. But I'm called to suffer with you. Bear your burden. Bear with you. Put up with you. Just like God put up with me. Just like he put up with me. Men, we are all different in many ways, but we all serve the same God.
Amen.
We all have the same Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we all have been baptized in the same Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. And finally, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, he's saying we got to make every effort to work hard in maintaining the unity of the Spirit. We got to bend over backwards and go out of our way to do this. Maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And making every effort suggests it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult, and it would take a man to be firm steadfast, fixed on this goal, and a man like Daniel that will not compromise if we are going to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Now, I want us to understand something as being worthy men. This verse says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So that suggests that unity is already present. It is because this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that we have been sealed with, that Paul was talking about. This verse does not suggest we can make up or manufacture unity. That's not what this verse says. So let's not get the misunderstanding with that, because it suggests that we must work hard to guard the truth. This means exposing darkness with light. This means, as we saw in the Old Testament, putting sin out of the camp. Because when we allow sin or darkness in the midst of the body, in the midst of this fellowship, this union of men and the whole body, when we allow that, that disrupts unity, number one, and the Spirit of God is not in that. So God is not going to bless that. This is why we were called to walk in the light. This is why we are called to expose darkness. This is why. I mean, what when sin was found in Achan's camp, what happened? What happened? They put him outside and they killed him, his family, his dog, his cats, everything. They radically amputated him from that. Because why? God wasn't blessing that. That's a strong, deep picture right there. I mean, think about us here today, now. Struggles and issues that some of us are dealing with or going through. Things that some of us may know about, and we just not saying nothing about it. Things that's going on with other brothers. Things that's going on with ourselves. And we're not exposing that. We're leaving it in the dark. God is not going to bless that. Remember, we are one body. So if sin is in the camp of one body, that's going to affect the whole body. That's going to stifle the Holy Spirit. That's going to grieve him. And God is not going to bless that. We are called to guard the truth, be heavy men. So we got to step up to the plate and we got to do the hard stuff, ask the hard questions. And if we're really going to be worthy, we got to be humble enough to receive it and repent when we need to. Amen. When it's been brought to our attention. Yes. That's what walking worthy is all about. That's what being a heavyweight and not a lightweight is all about. That's what manning up is all about. We must be men of humility, my brothers, meekness, patience, men who suffer long. And we have to be men who can put up with some stuff. Just so you know, this list is not exhaustive. Paul tells us in many other places, there are many other areas in the Bible that allude to how we ought to walk. Walk in love, walk in unity, walk of children of light. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. I like what he says later on in Ephesians. He says, if we are going to walk worthy, we have to be wise and not foolish. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Bill Crow gave us an example of that with Daniel. When the king was going to kill everybody, all the wise men, Daniel would exercise wisdom when he went to the king. He said, hold on, king, wait a minute. Let's put a little bit of time. Let me go and do what I need to do and give me a little time and get this figured out. I can't figure it out, but my God can. And because of that favor, he got that time and he went home and they prayed. He got with some other folk, some other men. He said, hey brothers, look, this is what's going on. King wanna knock us off. He don't want to just knock me off. He wanna knock y'all off too. So I think we need to go and get down on our knees and we need to go to our prayer closet and we need to ask God to give us an answer. And they did. They had a prayer meeting. God gave them an answer. And Daniel went back and interpreted the dream. Perfect example in the life of Daniel. Paul also says in Colossians 1:10, he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And then, catch this, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. So, worthy men are men that, well, first of all, if we're bearing fruit in every good work, it suggests that we're actually doing some work. We're not sitting around letting everybody else do all the work. And then as we're doing the work, we're bearing fruit. We're helping other folk in the lives of other men, bringing them along. Seeing that fruit in them. Brothers, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I got to tell you, if we think we can achieve this on our own, we have failed already. Amen. This life and these character traits only comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We learn in those earlier chapters of Ephesians and chapter 3 that we had been sealed by the Spirit as our guarantee, but Paul also reminds us and tells us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let this be our prayer. Let us seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. And being filled with the Spirit of God, these fruits will automatically come out. So you really want to know how to walk worthy? How to be worthy in your walk? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a secret formula for you. I don't have a magic pill for you. All I can do for you is to beseech you to cry out to God and ask him humbly and wholeheartedly to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you, as well as me, could walk worthy of the calling in which we are all called. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time you gave us to go through these instructions on how to walk worthy. Lord, I believe we all want to do this. I believe we all strive to do this, Lord, and we realize that we can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves, Lord. We are asking right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and carry us along as men of humility. Men that know how to be patient. Men that bear with one another. Men who suffer long. Help us to do these things, Lord. Make us men that won't compromise like Daniel, like Joseph. Make us men like that. We want that. We need that, Lord. Father, I ask that we don't leave this place the same way we came. We leave this place with a new perspective, fired up and ready for whatever it is you have for us. I pray for a fresh and new anointing among all of us. Yes. Right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. And it is his name that we pray. Amen.